Family, kids and all would come up. We'll sing this next song together. We have two songs, or especially this one that goes way back, that we sang with the girls when they were little, quite little, starting. We'll all share this together. There's a couple of copies, and there's a couple under there for those who need them. He's the rock I'm leaning on. I like to think it's a good foundation for any of us to carry forward from any point in life, and especially from here forward, for a good foundation. He's the rock I'm leaning on.
I am very hoarse.
If you don't care much about
his word you take for granted, and you don't believe it's true. If the blood he shed on Calvary won't melt your heart of stone, please don't criticize.
That's all right. We're going to do this one.
No, that's for, that was for rehearsal. We didn't get to rehearse this. There's been a whole lot going on with all the
weekend
activities.
This
weekend's been
really full.
It's not fair to you. We didn't have you rehearse with
and
us.
And they're so tired.
And you did a great job. Thank you.
See? Stop it, Paul. He started it.
You misinterpreted what I was doing. A song about prayer, always in order, right? For any occasion and any event and any rite to passage in life.
In the dark of the midnight, with my hope almost gone, I had done.
Take more time from you, Pastor Paul. Would you come up and
have some Bibles here that we're going to give out to our graduates. And if you graduates, what I thought is it's so hot. If after church, if you want to put your gown on, if you have it, Jaron, after church, if you want to put that on, and maybe people would want to have their picture taken with you. That never happened to me, but you know, that'd be great if people would want to have their picture taken with you. I also have to say to Alyssa, your Bible did not come in, and so we ordered that first, and because it's such a popular Bible, it's the chocolate fudge Bible, and no, just kidding. I was trying to think what would be a popular Bible, but it was on back order, but it has shipped. I've got the email, so it should be here this week, and I promise we'll get that to you. But again, I want to get these into your hands today, but at the same time, Jaron and Alyssa, you can't. We have a Bible for Cassie as well, and we want to pray for Cassie. Her grandma passed away yesterday. So imagine graduating high school and losing your grandma. So it's pretty sad. But I was thinking, one of the things that was really meaningful to me is when I started back in 2009 and got ordained, you, my dear friends and believers, wrote in my Bible. So I was going to pass at least Jaron's Bible around today and Cassie's. And if you want to write a comment in these, that would be really wonderful, I think, just to say, hey, this, you know, live for Jesus, whatever you want to say to them, you know, eat lots of chicken or whatever, if you've got good diet advice, but go ahead and do that, because it was a real blessing to me. I still look back at my minister's Bible that Pastor Bruce got me, and again, all of you wrote encouraging notes, and so it's fun to go back and read those and say, wow, you know, these people really love me and care about me. So I think that would be special for our graduates. So I'll hand these around, and if you're afraid of, you know, that you don't have time, then, you know, maybe you can, you know, if it's going to take a real long time, then maybe like a half hour, maybe you sign it after church or something, let other people go home. So, but I'll hand these around, and I'm wondering, Isaiah and Ariana, would you come up for offering? Go ahead. You can go. So I'm going to hand the Bibles around to you, and I got one pen here. Jaron's, he'll be like, flip the burgers, you know? Okay. So, just sort of as a charge to the graduates, and again, we had more than just Alyssa and Jaron graduate. Dom graduated from kindergarten, right? Pre-K. That's pretty amazing, and I can't even remember anything from my life back then, but congratulations, Dom. And we had Jaquela that made it out of eighth grade, right, with flying colors, okay? Was it 100 average in every course, Jaquela? 100 average in every course? Pretty close, right? Not really, right? But it was close enough, right? and then Owen, I think, graduated eighth grade too as well. So am I missing anyone for graduating here? I'm in my second or third year of AARP membership already, so I'm...
I
Yeah.
And we have two grandchildren graduating 50 years later.
Yeah, that's really. Yeah. That's really precious.
Yep. I did not graduate.
Oh, you didn't? Okay. Well, I'm not going to share my whole 25-minute speech that I did, but Bruce said, why don't you share the gist of what you talked about again? And I'm just going to go over those three main points. I want the graduates, but all of us as well, to pursue wisdom, intelligence, and nobility. And obviously, what I wanted to scream at the service to all the seniors was that Jesus is the source of wisdom. And I tried to say it as directly as I could, but the Bible clearly says in Psalms and Proverbs that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And James 1:5 says, if you need wisdom, ask God and he will give it to you generously. So it's, God was very impressed with Solomon when he said, please give me wisdom to rule the people. Instead of asking for wealth or honor, he just said, please give me wisdom. And so if you could pursue wisdom, I think that's a great thing. Graduates, intelligence is wonderful as well. Those are skills. What a blessing it is for Joanne to be able to have those medical skills and know that she was able to save a person's life from 1,500 miles away, roughly, thanks to technology. But kids, graduates, you're going to school to get intelligence, knowledge, skills that you can serve the Lord with. And when you can save a life like that, that's a beautiful, wonderful thing. And I can remember, I often tell this story about two boys that were in my U.S. history class, and apparently they looked back and forth at each other's paper, because one of the boys said, I don't know for this answer, and his friend for the same question wrote, me neither. And so I collected the tests, and I was like, wow, I guess they were looking at each other's tests. But, you know, that one boy, you'd say he was pretty silly. My first year teaching, he was a junior, and these two were just like, you know, Abbott and Costello. And I said my first year teaching, I was like, guys, I was like, you know, you got to be here. Just come to class. I said, be here every day. Do your work. And I said, but if you do skip my class and go downtown, at least bring me back a ham and cheese sub, you know? So, boy, one day about a month into school, these two guys are missing. I don't know and me neither, I call them. I won't say their names. And I don't know and me neither are missing. And I'm like, oh, great. And sure enough, about halfway through class, I hear, and there was no window in the door at that time. So I open up the door, and there's these two with a smile on their face, and they hold up a sub. I'm like, get out of here, go to the office, you know. Because I was new and not tenured, and I knew I could not let them come 20 minutes late to class just because they brought me a sandwich, even though the strongest inclination in my heart was to grab that sandwich. It's the hardest thing I ever did was to send that sandwich to the office that day. But later in the year, at the end of the year, they brought me a sub and said, hey, Mr. Cornell, thanks for a good year. But one of those gentlemen, it was me neither, he went on to become a fireman and got married, had three little girls, and as a fireman in the Air Force, he went into a burning building and rescued a baby, found a baby, got it out. And I was thinking, that's pretty cool, you know, when you've taught long enough to see what the graduates go on to become. And I'm just going to tell you, I didn't say this at the graduation speech, but probably, I may have shared this before, but maybe the most important thing I ever did as a teacher had nothing to do with my curriculum. A young girl, one year, junior year, she was in my class, and we were talking about abortion. It's a social issue, and you know, I wasn't trying to push my views or anything on people, but certainly, you know, said what I believe. And This one girl chimed in. She said, well, I think if you play, you ought to pay. You have to have that baby. And that her next year, her senior year, she had a pregnancy. And she, as far as I know, never contemplated abortion. But she came to me that senior year before she had the baby and while she was pregnant. And I was not her teacher at this point, but she came into my room and she said, Mr. Cornell, I don't know if I should keep this baby or not, or give it up for adoption. And I said, oh, honey, I said, the ones I've got, I'll never give away. So she kept this boy, and it was a great joy of mine over the years. This is many years ago, and over the years, it was a great joy of mine to see this mom, a single mom, who kept this boy. And at graduation, I saw this mom, and this is several years ago now, but I saw this mom actually grab this boy's hands. He's got his gown on, and she was dancing with him. I thought, that was good for me, you know. If I did nothing else except keep that family together, I think that was, you know, a good career. But I'll get back to this and get somber, or less somber and more serious here. You need wisdom, you need intelligence and skills, and who knows what you're going to do. You might, with your intelligence, save a physical life. You might, Alyssa, with your new guitar and that sweet voice, lead others to Christ as you sing songs worshiping the Lord, saving them for eternity. And remember, Jesus was doing all those miracles. Yes, he came to alleviate physical suffering and help people live. But the main message he wanted to get across by doing all those miracles is spiritual renewal, spiritual rebirth in life. And folks, again, that's why I'm excited about Caring Hearts for Central Haiti. It's showing the love of God to these people. And it's what we do right here every week. We're trying to proclaim the gospel, recharge our batteries, come together and say, what are our prayer requests? Let's agonize together. Let's pray together. And then go out and just keep having a harvest in the world. And again, my harvest of global studies lessons, do all those kids remember what imperialism is? Or do they remember the 13 Chinese dynasties? Probably not. But if a mom kept her son, I think that's a pretty good harvest. And if you can save a physical life with the skills that you get by being a doctor, a nurse, a healthcare worker, you may be a rising star in the sales scene, you know, but maybe Javian's going to be a millionaire salesman someday and, you know, in the 500 Diamond Club sales or something. That'd be great. But again, the money you make, you might be able to channel into missions. Who knows what God's got for you? And I know you've already graduated. You're like, hey, stop talking about me. Okay. But it's cool to see you young people, you know, with the talents you've got and the personalities, the gifts. I just am thrilled to look out and see you following the Lord. It so encourages my heart. So let me just say, the N is nobility. And what I really couldn't emphasize as much as I wanted to was that nobility is a gift bestowed on you by God. And you are a prince or a princess when you become a brother to Jesus, when you become the son of God. In John 1:12, as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become children of God, a son or a daughter. And you are a king or a queen or a prince, princess reigning with Jesus when you accept him as your savior. So remember that. And just like Ravi Zacharias said in that quote that I shared, teaching or education, worldly knowledge, worldly self-improvement. You know, you might say, I'm in a group, we do 200 push-ups a day, Paul. Maybe you can tell. Yeah, I do. Yeah, I noticed that because you can't put your arm down. You're just so, you just got such big muscles there. Maybe you're in one of those, you know, self-improvement clubs. That's awesome. That's good. But remember, Christ, bodily exercise profiteth little. Christ is going to renew our minds, our hearts, our souls. so that we can have fellowship with him and realize just who we are in him. And there's a beautiful psalm, Psalm 45, that talks about this, you know, bride, this queen, and she's wearing gold in Psalm 45. And it's just a beautiful image, ladies, of your standing and all of us as the bride of Christ, just wearing gold for this wedding to the king. And that's how we want to be. We want to be pure. I love these opening songs that said, you know, there's nothing too dirty that you can't make clean. Isaiah 1, verses 16 to 20, talks about, you know, how we can have our sins, though they be as scarlet, we can be washed as white as snow. It says, come, let us reason together. Think about it, that means. Though your sins are as scarlet, you can be washed as white as snow by the blood of Jesus. So we praise you, God, for that cleansing righteousness, the righteous robes that we get to wear because of you. I just want to go over some scriptures here that I couldn't go over in the talk. So why go for the win? For wisdom, for intelligence, for nobility. Do it for Jesus. Do it for your parents. Do it for other people that you love, the world out there that needs hope, and do it for yourself. Those are four things. But I've got some verses. I'll just share as many of these as I can. I don't want to, you know, keep us too long on a hot day. But Daniel 1:8, you are well aware of. Pastor Bruce has preached on this. But Daniel made up his mind not to defile himself by eating the food and wine given to them by the king. He asked the chief official for permission to eat other things instead. And folks, too, if you're going to not defile yourself in this world that's ever increasingly just godless and lawless all around us, you can't count on your culture to keep you clean, is what I'm saying. Even if you go to a beautiful university like Liberty, that's a great school. Doesn't matter if you're at Houghton or Roberts or any of the other nice Christian universities. I tell you what, you have to have this goal, this target, like an archer. You want to shoot at keeping yourself pure. And Daniel said, I'm not going to defile myself. He had that as a goal before he left home. And again, he got taken from his home in against his wishes and stuff. But he still said, I'm not going to just say, oh, you know, when in Rome, do as the Romans, or when in Babylon, do as the Babylonians. I guess I have to do this now. You know, I guess if somebody kidnapped me and said, Paul, we eat Little Debbie snacks here. You're going to have to eat these, you know. It would be hard for me to say, should I, God, what do you think, you know, carrots or Little Debbie's? Is that, you know, I mean, you could have kept me from getting deported. And, you know, if I ahead of time said, God, help me eat the carrots, I thank God that I've had a lot of Little Debbie's in my life. They've been a source of joy for me. But Daniel 1:8. So kids, all of us, we need to purpose in our hearts that we're not going to be defiled by the world. 1 Corinthians 6:18 to 20 is a good passage, and we've been through this, but I'll just share these quickly, these thoughts. 1 Corinthians 6:18 to 20 says, I was in the wrong chapter. Run away from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Or don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. Just a reminder that you're a temple, all of you, but young people, I know there's pressure in, again, absolutely no societal restraints anymore at all. It's not thought of as wrong. It's encouraged. It's just like, you can't even sin anymore because there's nothing that's a sin according to our world and our culture, it seems like. But there is still sin, and there are unwise behaviors. And so just remember, if you're a Christian, God bought you with a tremendous price. His son lived 33 years of sinless perfection before dying on the cross. He didn't just wake up and say, oh yeah, today I die, yeah, I'll be a sacrifice. It wasn't just like pushing you out of the way of a truck and getting hit and then just this one instant giving something. Jesus, from eternity, knew his fate. As soon as we fell in the garden, Jesus resolved, I'm going to be the man that takes care of this. I'm going to go down, be born, and go through all that frustration and temptation. And he did it perfectly, perfectly for us. So it's a tremendous price. Anytime I think of this price, I can't help but think of that just beautiful illustration Pastor Bruce shared of a story about the pearl of great price and this missionary who's witnessing to this Indian man who would not accept Christ. He couldn't believe that this could be, salvation could be free. Well, it wasn't free. It was paid for with his son's life. And if you want to have Pastor Bruce refresh you on that story, see him after the service and he can lay it out for you. I'm not even going to attempt to tell it, but what a great story, Pastor Bruce, to share with us about the price that Jesus paid. So kids, remember, you're bought with a price. All this freedom from sin, Galatians 5 says, don't get yourself involved in that again. You were set free. Don't get yourself involved in that again. Okay, so another verse. Psalm 119, verses 9 through 14. I'm just going to just tell you the gist of these real quick. Wherewithal shall a young man keep his way pure? By taking heed thereto according to your word. I'm just saying this kind of just a little bit from the King James Version that I recall. But if you want to stay pure, you got to just be thinking God's word, meditating on it day and night. Like Psalm 1 says, delight in God's word day and night. A fourth scripture reference, Philippians 4:8. Think on these things, things that are noble and excellent and pure. A fifth reference, Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And I heard Adrian Rogers talking about purity this week, and he was talking about pornography and saying, folks, you think it's just looking at pictures and this is harmless? He says, nothing. It's a lie. He says, nothing could be farther from the truth. When you put impure images in your brain and begin this lust process, love goes out the window. And now it's all about you, and this disease takes over you. And he says, God can't reach you. You can't love God. You can't have this right relationship with God when you're letting something else control you. And there's other things that control us, obviously, as well. But he just warned. He says, you can't love. You can't be the person God wants you to be if you're going to let all this filth into your mind. So that's why all through Scripture, it just says, keep yourself pure. 1 Timothy 5:22, the second part of that verse, keep yourself pure. A very good thing, graduates, if you can just, you'll never regret being pure. And I heard a young girl that was really getting teased by her friends that were all doing their wildlife things with their boyfriends and stuff. And they were teasing this girl, you're such a prude and all this. And she finally, I don't know if she said this in the right amount of Christian love or not, but she looked at her friends and she said, girls, any day I want to, I can be like you, but you can never be like me. And I thought that was a good realization for a young girl to have, that your purity is something that is sacred, and that's a gift from God. Now again, he can renew us, just like I said from Isaiah, he can wash our sins away, but let's not go there. If we've been rescued from that, let's not go there. And young people, don't go there. If you can keep yourself pure, but it starts with your brain. You can't live with your mind in all these TV shows and all these movies and all these, you know, internet sites or whatever that just are filthy. If you're just taking a bath in a raw sewage every day, are you going to walk down the street and say, why do I smell? Okay, well, the reason you smell is you're bathing in sewage. So get your mind away from these things that just continually make you impure. So another scripture, 1 Thessalonians 3:8. I love the NIV version of this. I think it says, now we really live since you are living for the Lord. It's Father's Day, kids. You want to give your dads the best present ever, your moms too, for Mother's Day? Live for Jesus. Just say, God, I'm sold out for you. I don't care. I'll be poured out like wine for you. I'll go to the mission field. I'll give my life. Okay, nobody's going to rejoice if you die on the mission field. Nobody's going to rejoice if you move away and are thousands of miles away from your family. But if you're living for the Lord, that's all that counts, folks. That's all that counts. If you can just say, God, I'm sold out for you, whatever. And folks, when we get to heaven, whether we were single or married, is that going to matter? No. Whether we had $1,000 in our bank account or $1 million in our bank account, is that going to matter? No. What's going to matter? Did we live for Jesus? Did we run after him with everything we've got? So another verse, that's a great gift. When I said these points, do it for Jesus, do it for your parents. 1 Thessalonians 3:8 is, man, do it for your spiritual parents, those that have invested in you, your actual parents, your grandparents that are praying for you. 1 Thessalonians 4:1 through 12 talks about being pure and living a pure life again, so the world can see it. I'm just trying to, I don't want to skip any. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 6 talks about taking every thought captive. Again, don't let something wash into your brain. A bad thought can pop into your brain like that, and that's going to happen. But you can take that thought captive, and you can say, in the name of Jesus, thought, you get out of my brain. This body belongs to Jesus Christ. You start doing that, folks, and you're gonna find victory over sin. But again, purpose in your heart to stay pure. Make purity that goal that you're shooting for. Just a few more. I'm almost done here. Daniel 10, I shared a little bit from in the graduation commencement address. Just remember how dearly loved you are. Daniel in chapter 9 of his book is confessing his sin, the sin of the nation. And at the end of 10, he's getting this revelation about the world, and he's terrified. Gabriel has shown up, the same Gabriel that's going to appear 400 years later to Mary. Obviously, angels aren't aging. Gabriel is there talking to Daniel, and Daniel is pale. He is like ill almost. He's so scared. And Gabriel raises up, touches him, says, stand up, don't be afraid. And the thing he says is, he says, you are greatly loved by God. Folks, Alyssa, you know your folks love you. You're going to be wonderful down at college because you've got this just secure feeling. And Jaren, you're going to be fine because we're going to keep hugging you here, and you know that we love you. But I wish every graduate could just know the love of a mom and a dad and just how deeply, deeply loved they are. But more than that, it breaks my heart when kids out there don't know how much God loves them. And I told them, listen to Jimmy Wayne's song, I Love You This Much. So think about that, folks. You are greatly loved. And I can remember just being sad that I was going to college. I was going to miss my mom and dad. And my dad used to hug me and say, man, you're a champion, you know. He could have been exaggerating that a little bit. Junior year baseball team was 2-19 in high school. We lost a lot of close games, but 2-19. Dad could have hugged me and said, man, you're a loser, but I love you anyways. But he didn't say that. He'd give me a hug and he'd say, you're a champion, you know, and he'd say, I love you. And even when I was in high school, all the way through high school, I remember his big forearms. He was a steel worker, just clamping me. And Pam said one time, my sister, when are you going to stop hugging and kissing Dad? I said, never. And I was glad that I always did that. And, you know, your parents are gone too soon, kids. Believe it or not, you're going to wish that you could hug them and tell them you love them. But for me, going away to college, it was like Psalm 91, that image of the hen and her baby chicks. God protects us like that. And in this world, there's no perfect protection. Your parents can't always protect you from all the hurts, the breakups, the wrongs that are done to you. But they can love you, and they will. And let Jesus, who loves you this much, just love you every day. Just revel in his love for you. Psalm 68:19, I think it is, says, each day he carries us in his arms. So I'm almost done. 11, John 15 says, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. So do it for Jesus. Why win? Why pursue wisdom, intelligence, and nobility? Because if you love Jesus, of course you want to do that. And 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. So kids, you're blessed. You are blessed if you've been able to find Jesus in the pages of this word before you go to college. If you know how much he loves you, if you know how much your parents love you. And now I just want to do an activity. Colossians chapter 4 talks about a guy named Epaphras, and he doesn't get a lot of press usually, probably because mom and dad called him Epaphras. You know, if he had a cool name, people would probably know about him. God's going to let Epaphras just pop down from heaven and punch me right now. Just, hey, loser. Okay. But anyways, I want to read this. Colossians chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. I'm asking the congregation, if you are willing to be Epaphras, I'm going to ask that the graduates, at least Alyssa and Jaron, would you come up here, please? And I'm going to ask if you are willing to be like Epaphras for these kids. And here's the question that I have, congregation. It says this in verses 13 and 14. It says, that's why I can't read it. I don't have my glasses on. It says, Epaphras sends you his greetings. He always prays earnestly for you, asking God to make you strong and perfect, fully confident of the whole will of God. It's verses 12 and 13. I can assure you that he is agonized for you and also for the Christians in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Epaphras always prays for you, asking God to make you strong and perfect means complete in your faith, fully confident of the whole will of God. He is agonized for you. So, congregation, if you're willing to pray for these guys, will you do the work of Epaphras and pray earnestly for these graduates, asking God to make them strong and complete, fully confident of the whole will of God? And will you agonize in prayer and thought for these dear children of the faith? If you are willing to do that, would you rise to your feet? I just want to have Pastor Bruce close us in prayer here, just praying for these graduates. And could wait, before we do this, could we have moms and dads come up and put their hands on them, please? To really pray earnestly for someone, to really agonize, that's what I want us to do for these guys, folks. Let's not forget about them.
So many others and many other families rejoicing and celebrating and praying.
you brought your gowns, you can, if you want to put them on, and then people maybe outside can snap a selfie with you. Pam, could you sing?
Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. All may change, but Jesus never.